Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Whining with Wine. Ew. That was gross.
I just tried to do a thing. I'm sorry.
Oh my god. I don't think we're like that cool.
No.
To do that.
That was kind of cringy too.
That was very cringy.
We're gonna keep it anyways, but welcome to another episode. We're gonna start off with the wine I picked out today, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around, I was like literally just walking around Total Wine for hours looking at pointless things. I ended up buying a lot of random stuff. But when I was looking for wines, I was scrolling through and this one like kind of caught my eye. It wasn't even that expensive. I think it was only like $14 or like $12.
Oh, really?
Bucks. Yeah,
it really looks cheap. More expensive than that.
Yeah, but it has like a bunch of little, what would these be?
Glitter?
Yeah, glitter, confetti, little things. And it's called Happy. And it's a Cabernet. It's a 2018 Cabernet Sauv. It's a Cabernet Sauv from California. 13%, so a little lighter for a cab. It has bright notes.
Wait a second. You don't say the full word.
No, I can't say that word right.
Sauvignon Blanc?
No, this is a...
That's you don't a say Sauvignon.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that word.
Cabernet Sauvignon?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Nope. Don't give me that look. Don't judge me.
Oh, wow.
I say it so bad. So, it has bright notes of Binga cherry.
I don't even say it well.
Raspberry.
Subtle Wait, it has oak. Raspberry in
yeah,
it? I'm allergic to raspberries.
You're going to drink it anyways. You know what I mean? Half the Cabernets I bought had raspberries in it.
That's why I broke out.
But you always be breaking out. That's enough. The lively tans.
That was me slapping Craig.
Brie, pass me that glass. Let's see. Let's get that first taste in. Oh, this is a nice glass.
There's like $2 at Target.
Really?
It's a tumbler.
This is like a perfect fitting tumbler. I would drink my scotch
out of
this.
And this is my glass that I made.
What does it say?
Fuck it, I'm getting drunk.
Lit, same.
You can buy at eggshellshop.com.
Ooh. Ooh, I like this a lot.
What are your thoughts? It's like kind of sour.
You know, it has, you know, bright notes of Bing cherry. You know, I feel it has some raspberry.
Well, the aftertaste, I can definitely taste the raspberry. In the aftertaste.
It's subtly oaky. It has lively tannins, just like the description. It's weird.
As you're reading the bottle.
As I'm reading like the exact description.
Yeah.
Like, but it's wines for celebration, it says. And it says happy. I really like the
Are you celebrating
look of the bottle.
Something?
Yeah, we're celebrating today. We're actually gonna be looking at I'm drinking again, so we're celebrating.
Yeah.
After I did
Justice
I didn't last,
has been served for
I didn't
George
last 30
Floyd.
Days. Oh, yeah, that too. Justice has been served for George Floyd.
Yeah.
Cheers to that. I used the whole bottle for that one.
Yeah, you definitely did.
But going on that, you know, that's going to bring our topic. And today it's going to be about something that I think is really interesting, something close to me, death.
Okay.
Death.
Here we go. I don't know why that's funny. Real quick.
I mean, it's inevitable. It's something that we're all bound for. Nothing we can do to stop it. But it's something that, you know, some people are terrified of, and it's something that most people really aren't afraid of, and it's, you know, it's a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows what happens after, and, you know, it's, I've been conflicted how I want to dive into this. There's been a lot of controversy around death right now,
okay,
especially with, like, police brutality and a lot of, you know, like, just mass murders with gun violence, and there's a lot of stuff that's really been, like, that ultimately ends in death, but it doesn't define it in a sense. So it's been like kind of interesting. But the one thing that I've been thinking of a lot recently when it came to death is justice being served for those who've been getting killed by cops.
Yeah.
And I'm not like a big anti-cop person sometimes, but it's, you know, it's getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And I think this sentencing, you know, I don't think the terms he's going to face is going to be a lot, but I still think just being found guilty is a big step for police brutality.
I mean, I feel like it's a big step just because it is a police officer, and I mean, we haven't received as a black person, we haven't received a lot of the justice that we have been entitled to. And I do feel as though he definitely should be serving a longer sentence. But, you know, I am happy that they at least convicted him. And they charged him properly.
Yeah.
Because there's so many times when either they're not charged at all or everything is kind of dismissed. You know, like we have the whole thing with Breonna Taylor. And that situation was absolutely awful.
Yeah, she got hoed.
Yeah.
Like, literally, they walked into her apartment.
She was asleep.
She was sleeping, just got shot down.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Nothing happened to those cops.
There's so many people where, like, things like this have happened with people of color. And it's been very hard to be an American and be patriotic at all when you live in a country that's literally killing your people.
Yeah. And especially, like, I think 2020 was actually a big, you know, eye-opener for a lot of people. And you could be in the midst of a pandemic and still have hundreds of thousands of people just take to the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't even many, like, big COVID outbreaks during those protests because they were all outside. But, you know, that was an eye-opener for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think the election kind of, like, eased the tension a little bit after Joe Biden won.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still out there. And I think people are just seeing that election as, like, a bandage over, like, what happened. But no, this is something America has been facing for years.
Yeah.
And I think going further into the future, there's going to be still many, many issues in like race wars. And, you know, it's just, we're just such a, you know, big clash of cultures in this country.
Well, I mean, like we dismiss it a lot and we don't do our research a lot, you know, when it comes to other countries and all of their racial issues. But I mean, the same things happens in Canada too. You know, and the UK, there's mm-hmm. still that divide. There's still a lot of racism that we may not hear about in the US.
But it's there.
It's there.
Especially like in China with, you know, them doing with a lot of the people that they're taking in the Middle East and putting in these like small little camps. It's basically like what Germany was doing with Jewish people. And it's just being brushed under the rug because, you know, it's not happening here.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look at certain things and not others. And it's a weird time to be alive.
True.
It's a very controversial time to be alive. You know, there's a lot of cancel culture. You know, you say one thing wrong, you're out. You do one thing wrong, you're out. And then it just, next thing you know, that's no longer in the news and someone else died.
True.
And it's like the day of the sentencing, there was that girl, I think 16-year-old girl in Ohio who got, they said she had a knife and she got shot down in a park. Like, that's ridiculous.
I think they showed her with the knife in the video. I don't really know. I didn't see it. But I mean, I'm not really going to speak on that just because I didn't see the video. I don't know much about it. You know, I feel like situations like that could always be handled way better because if it was a person who wasn't of color, I mean, they would have gotten treated completely differently.
Oh, for sure. Even if they did have a knife. I know, exactly. And if you're a young man going to like a middle-aged man who's a police officer, with all the weapons you have at your disposal, you have pepper spray, you have tasers, you have a freaking nightstick. Mm-hmm. A 16-year-old kid with a knife will not terrify me.
Yeah.
And you should not be shooting at anything that's like literally.
Or the cop that thought her gun was a taser.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell was that?
There's just so much, you know.
What do you mean you thought it was a taser? Like,
and I'm not really big like anti-cop, but it's just there's so many bad decisions out there that have been happening recently. And, you know, maybe it's like things like this happen all the time, but we're just bringing more light to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some statistic on like a talk show radio the other night, and they're like, yeah, well, there's only 3% of all police incidents. This is like the percentage of it happening. It's like 3% of everything,
mm-hmm.
which is a very small percentage when you look at actually how many cases is going on. But it's still, I feel like 3% is a lot.
Yeah.
We freaked out with COVID and there's like a 1% death rate. But 3% with all these, you know, everything like getting pulled over, citations, you know, suicide attempts. But 3% that the cop kills you, that's still kind of high.
That's pretty high.
That's 3 out of 100 people are getting shot and killed by a cop. Like, ouch.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm anti-cop or anti-police. It's more so, I feel that we need some type of police reform. And frankly, I don't feel as though if you've served in the military, you should be a cop. Because one, you're trained to kill. You're not trained to protect. So why the hell are these people protecting us? And that does concern me. You know, like I have family members that are part of the military. And their first instinct is if they're trying to protect themselves, their first instinct is to kill. So it's just, there's a disconnect there that needs to be addressed. And we need everything to be redone. Like, we need to start over in that situation because this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I don't feel like police are actually doing their jobs anymore. I remember we used to live in Hawthorne, California, And this guy, I guess he was running and the police were after him and they stopped him. And when I tell you, all the cops got out of their SUVs with freaking guns. And I don't mean like handheld guns. They had on like the full on
tactical rifle.
Yes. And fucking gear. And I'm just like, and then the whole reason was because they think the guy stole some candy.
That's from ridiculous. From
the AMPM. And then they all had guns, and you just hear this lady saying, "Don't move, don't move, don't move." Like, are you fucking serious? Why do they have these fucking guns? And like, I'm not even against guns. That's the crazy thing. But do I believe cops should have guns? Fuck no, I don't believe that they should.
I don't think they should have it easily accessible.
No, sure. It should be like that TV show Watchmen that recently came out, the new version, where they have to like put in a button to release the gun out, and they have to have a good reason as to why they need it, and they have to report the reason before they even get the gun, because this is ridiculous.
I mean, I think certain scenarios cops do need guns, especially when dealing with gang violence and stuff, and I'm sure there's situations where like you want that to be accessible. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say you're getting shot at, then I can see that, because this is also America and people also have guns,
but so, this is also the world.
Yeah, well, the world around us, there's not a lot of guns. And in the world around us, in certain countries, only the bad guys have guns.
Yeah.
Like, you look at Mexico, it's very hard if you're a citizen to get a gun, and you have to get it for, you know, there's contracting and licensing, especially if you're, like, a farmer and you need to, like, get coyotes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's still very hard to get a gun.
Yeah.
And if you look at all the cartel people that have guns out there, they run everything. Mm-hmm. Like, especially you go somewhere, like, out in Sinaloa, you go to certain cities like Juarez, you see the cops ain't gonna save you.
Yeah.
And you're outnumbered and you can't protect yourself. Think of all those like houses that got shut up and all those like kids parties. Remember those things like when we were growing up down there? Things like that, like, I feel is why in America we have guns. But it's just like in other countries, and all the good guys always have guns. Like, I have a lot of guns.
Yeah.
But I don't carry them with me. I don't carry anything on me. I don't feel like I'll need to have it on me.
Yeah.
There's some people who are just scared. I think fear brings a lot of it.
There should be some type of mental test to like see if you can actually have a gun. Like, I don't really know, you know, like what exactly what procedures should be taken, but I feel like they need to be take like the idea of them needs to be thought of more seriously in order to have the safety of our people, because I feel like I personally don't feel safe going out, and sometimes I don't even feel safe in my home, you know, like I feel very uncomfortable a lot of the time. I constantly think of, how am I acting? What am I saying? Is this gonna offend somebody? Is my tone of voice gonna offend an officer if I have to speak to one? You know, I think of those things a lot, because I always think about, how's my hair looking right now? Like, do I look in terms of ghetto? Like, I have to think that way because I am scared, you know, like I think about, where is my ID, you know, like, am I able to easily get to it without having to really rummage through anything? Like, I have to think about those things. So it's just, we need police reform and we need to end systematic racism, because this is ridiculous. I shouldn't have to feel scared to be alive.
No, you shouldn't fear your life for getting pulled over at a stop sign or
for
running a red light
or entering the building that I live in.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. I once got pulled over for, they said I was going too slow onto the highway. And I was like, officer, I went on the highway going 50. Mm-hmm. Speed limit's 55. What you mean I went too slow? He's like, well, I just thought you were going too slow. And I was like, so you pulled me over for thinking I was going too slow? Like, it's like, I was going 55. Did you mark me? No, I just felt, I was like, oh my God. And he wrote me a warning. So I was like, dude, you're tripping. Like, I felt like you were bored and just wanted to pull me over.
Yeah.
And, probably, you know, did. And I mean, I got away with a lot of tickets, and I haven't had to have that feeling of being scared because I look very white. And, you know, it's like I got pulled over in Scottsdale back in, I think, in December. Mm-hmm. I did not know, like, I had, like, my license suspended. I told you about this whole situation.
Yeah.
And the cop was like, you know, I'm going to let you go. He's like, I could technically, like, impound your car. I can do this and I can take you in. And he's like, I just feel like this is a misunderstanding. And, you know, you don't look like a guy that would have these issues. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. And like, I was totally bullshitting him because I fucking, I knew like my plate was expired, but I didn't know my license was suspended.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, it happens. He was just like.
Do you think that situation would have been so much more different if you looked like your other half?
Yeah, if I looked like more like my sister or like my mom, like, oh yeah, I'd go to jail and they'd take my car.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like it really hit me when he said, you don't look like someone who'd have this issue. And I was like, oh my God. Because this dude was like a probably around like slightly older than me, white dude, you know, ginger guy. And, you know, I was wearing like work clothes. Like I had like a nice shirt on and like my car's like the inside was super clean and I don't drive like a ghetto car. So he was like, oh, you just don't look like someone who had this issue. I had like my nice watch on. I was like, oh no, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, and when he said, you don't look like someone who'd have this, I was like, oh my God.
It kind of freaked you
out. It kind of like really hit me. I was like, damn, this guy's like, it's kind of like playing a card.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, he's playing that. I thought about it a lot after that. My little sister's like, she only let you go because you look white, like dad. And I was like,
honestly, that's what I thought of when you first told me. I was like, oh, well, it's probably, like, no offense, but I was thinking, oh, yeah. He was able to use his white privilege in this situation, you know? And that's a crazy, you're scratching your beard. You're like,
yeah, I was like, yeah, it's weird. No, after, like, I was talking to my sister about it after it happened, and I was like, yeah, like, he really. I got away scot-free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just had to make my sister drive. And in that situation, if I were any other color, I would have had my car towed. I would have went to the county, and I would have been booked up.
And, you know, or if anything, you probably would have been shot and killed.
Yeah, or if anything, I would have been shot and killed reaching for my wallet because I dropped my wallet when I was pulling it out. And he was cool. If I were anything else and I dropped my wallet to grab it from down low, he'd probably think I had a gun or something.
Probably, yeah. And that's exactly why, like I'm so intense, like with my boyfriend when it comes to these things. I'm always just like, make sure you have everything like up to date. I'm always making sure all of our stuff is up to date. I'm always making sure like is your wallet reachable? Like I think of these things all the time. I'm so afraid when my boyfriend walks out of the house. I am fucking terrified. Yeah. He's a black man in America.
Yeah.
Like that shit is like I'm a black woman in America and that shit is still scary. But like I worry more so about him. Like I think about a lot of things, you know, because what if he is just walking up and going to the elevator, you know, trying to go home and someone stops him? That happened at like the place that I work at. This lady had to come in today and tell me, oh, this lady accused my son of not living here. And there was a black woman and she was telling me this and I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, this lady stopped my son and said, you don't live here. Where's your mother? And almost called the cops.
Jesus Christ.
The only reason she didn't is because the mom came out and showed her her ID that had her address on it.
I would have beat that lady's ass and said, that's none of your business in the first place. I think we need to bring back punch erasers.
Seriously, this shit is crazy.
And you know, the more I think about it, there's other situations where I've had things like this happen. Like I remember, every time I've been pulled over, I've never been asked if there's any weapons in the vehicle. The only time I was asked that when I lived in Flagstaff,
mm-hmm.
I had my truck and I had like all my roommates at the time. I had like, it was me, my roommate was Hispanic, and then I had like two others that were African American. I got pulled over. The first thing he asked, is there any weapons in the car? I was like, oh, in my truck. In my toolbox in the truck in the back, but I got stuff in there, but that's it. Nothing in like on the sides or nothing. He's like, okay, so they're locked away. I was like, yeah, no one can touch that. That thing's locked. He went try to open it. He's like, all right, you know, I pulled you over. I was like, no. And he just started bullshitting me. He's like, yeah, your left turning blinker's broken. He tried to make it like some bullshit up, like the light over your. I think he said the light over my license plate wasn't working.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
And I was like, that's bullshit, because it was like night and I went out and looked. I was like, I look and it was on. And I was like, dude, you're full of shit. You're just saying that. He's like, oh, I probably just clicked on when you parked. It wasn't on when you were driving. I was like, oh my God, you're so full of shit. We got fucking,
yeah,
we got stopped because
you basically everyone was colored.
He probably just didn't see me driving.
Yeah,
he got pulled over because he saw them. And one thing another, that one of my friends who became a cop, he's like, you know what we look for? I was like, what? He's like, they train you to look for hats. When people are driving hats, if you could see a logo of a hat when someone's driving, that means they have their hat backward and they're probably ghetto. And I was like, what? I was like,
he said that to you?
Yeah, he said that's what they tell him.
Oh my
God. And he's like, they told him that when you're driving and you see, and it's nighttime, and you see a logo of a hat in someone's car, it probably doing something sketchy.
So then I have a question for you. Do, when you're around people of color, then do you ever fear death in some form of way as far as from a police officer?
With them, no.
Yeah.
No.
What about alone?
Like, what do you mean alone?
Like, if you're driving alone and you get pulled over, are you ever afraid that you might get shot and
No, killed? I really don't feel that. And, you know, that's something, it's not like in the back of my head, but it's not like I don't fear it. I've gotten pulled over so many times and got away with it with yeah. that. I feel like you don't look like someone who have this issue, because that happened to me in El Paso too. And it's like, that's I really so don't have crazy. That fear.
You know, that actually hurts me.
Yeah, I could believe it. That hurts me. It's a cruel thing.
I think about that. I have that feeling just seeing a police officer drive by. And when I tell you, I yell at my boyfriend because I don't like to drive and he drives. I will yell and say, drive better, slow down, put your phone away. Like, because he'll have his phone next to him and I'll be like, put your stuff away. Don't do this. Don't do that. Like, I will start freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Because and I'm mean, terrified. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's a scary feeling. And that's just something that I feel like other countries don't have to deal with. But it's a really a big thing here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just from all the systematic racism that's been going on in our country for hundreds of years now, since we became a country. This country was built on racism. This country is built on slavery.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think will keep going for, I think I read a Wall Street Journal or it was a New York Times article on it, like, racism will live in our country's roots forever.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many monuments you destroy, no matter how many times you try to rewrite history or try to change history, you will never get rid of the picture of it.
Yeah.
And it's just something that's so crazy.
That is crazy, honestly. So when you think about death, then what exactly are you thinking about?
Thinking about like a comet hitting the earth and we all die.
Are you fucking serious? No, seriously. Like, if you're not thinking about a cop killing you because you don't have that issue, like, what are you thinking about as far as death? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
You know? I feel it's something that, it's like I said, it's inevitable. I'm going to die at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
It could be at 20 or like 28. It could be at 30. It could be at 50. It could be at 80. Knowing like my grandfather, it could be like at 98. Like, you never know. But I don't know when it'll exactly happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to try and make the best of what I got. And, you know, I don't really fear. I don't really like death is kind of like in the back of my head. I feel like I'm not living a lifestyle to where like I have other things to worry about. I'm trying too hard to like build myself better than focusing about dying. Like, I don't have I have stability. I don't have like the stability I want. I don't have like the amount of money I want. I don't have things I like all the things I want. So I'm pushing for that. And so I don't really focus about death.
Yeah.
And I know like a lot of people who like grow up wealthy or have like everything figured out, have, you know, generational wealth, they aren't striving for those same kind of goals. So they get suicidal and stuff like that. But I don't feel like I have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm trying to do so many other things besides death isn't really like an idea in my head.
Hmm. Okay. It's a lot.
Yeah, like it's interesting. I don't really think about death a lot. I don't really think about suicide a lot. I don't really think about any of those things.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy trying to do other things, focus on different things.
You know, like, I guess when it comes to me, I mean, I think about death pretty often, but I mean, death has never been something that scares me ever. I've always kind of seen it as an adventure. I mean, honestly, just leaving the house, I do kind of feel like, am I gonna die? Like, I will think about that often, you know, like, is this my last time? Like, I'll definitely think about that. But I mean, as far as death goes, I'm not really worried. I know you said a lot of people don't know, but I know, I feel like I know where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Don't worry about it.
You going to Target? Like, is there like
no?
After you die, you go to Target?
No, like, I'm not gonna say going, what I know.
Was it Wakanda? Like,
where? What the fuck? I'm not African.
Oh, sorry. What was your East Pacific Islander? Is that what you?
This is so off topic, but I personally hate the phrase African American. And you know why I hate that phrase? Because one, I'm not from Africa. My mom is not from Africa. And Africans do not claim us. So I am not African American. I just prefer a person of color or black. And, you know, I mean, I'm a lot of different things, obviously, but I mean,
I just, you're like Mexican in my eyes.
Yeah, so I am technically, but at the same time, I look black.
We're both clusterfucks.
Yeah, so. I look black. I was raised black. That's just how it is, you know. But like, yeah, I've never really fucked with that term, like ever. I just never really have. Maybe if I was living in the 1800s, I would think about it more, but I feel like we're so far past that, it doesn't make sense to call us African.
Like, yeah, I could see that.
It doesn't make sense to me. It's just like, huh? Like, what do you mean? Like, because if I'm deported to Africa, where the fuck am I going? Africa is a whole fucking continent. There's multiple countries there. I don't know which one I belong to. Why?
There's a shit ton of countries.
Yeah, there's a lot. So where exactly, if we're calling someone African American, where exactly are they gonna go in Africa?
Well, South Africa is actually very like whitewashed.
Yeah, there's that whole thing. Oh, we came from South Africa. How? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, that's for a whole other different podcast, but it just none of it makes any sense. The history books don't make any sense to me, especially when you really do the math and you really do the research. None of it makes any sense. It sounds like some bullshit that they fed us to make us conform
to the society they want.
Yes. And it's very uncomfortable. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. It's very odd knowing that if I'm in Africa, I have no idea where my ancestors are from. Like, where would I even go? Because really think about it. I have family from France.
Yeah.
I have family who live in France. They've lived in France for decades, probably centuries. What part of Africa are they from then?
Well, I think everyone's from the Middle East, personally.
Really?
It's like the Fertile Crescent, the start of life.
Yeah.
And then humans just thrived and were beginning to become like drifters, wanderers, mm-hmm. and explorers. And that's how like they spread out throughout the world. There's actually a few podcasts I've watched listening to, you know, how people got in different continents and how some people never made it to certain continents and
all the wars.
You know what's
one thing I will say though? Those people back then were not afraid of dying. They were just out here. People
back in the day were not afraid to die.
And I feel like we're more afraid to die now than we have ever been in the history of.
Well, I don't know about being human. The suicide rates would say different.
For being human and throughout time.
I mean, I think people,
but you, I mean, don't think we should say that people who commit suicide aren't afraid of dying.
I guess
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, but you can't say like everyone's like also not afraid to die.
Oh yeah, of course we can't say that. A lot of people are, but
a lot of people are afraid. A lot of people aren't. I think the pandemic changed things up a little bit. Suicide rates went through the roof during the pandemic too.
Yeah.
Especially like because there's a lot of child abuse and stuff like that. People started really offing themselves a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only you don't no longer have an escape, like kids can't go to school to escape if they have any at-home abusers. You know, those toxic relationships, not everyone's stuck in the same house together.
Oh my God, that reminds me. I had a vacant apartment that I had to go look at because we just had to move out. And when I tell you this was a toxic relationship, I really felt like these people wanted to kill themselves because it was better than being together. There, I walked into the house. They were carving into the doors and the walls. I saw something that said, like, I hate my life. Like, it was just like, oh, like, kill me. Like, it was just like the energy in there was so dark and heavy. Yeah. And then they tried to paint over it and you could still see the carvings. Like, it felt so empty and so hollow and so angry when I walked in. It was terrifying.
Do you believe in reincarnation?
You know what? I don't want to say I believe in reincarnation. I believe in body jumping.
I've read a lot about that,
actually. I guess it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, kind of very similar. You just reincarnate to another human or another person in a different point in time or, you know, and they said, like, people's scars are from, like, previous lives. Because people are born with scars, and I think that's the craziest thing. people are born with like certain body features that like
Born with scars.
I know you're born with a shit ton of scars, and you also added some scars too with your 2008 emo ass, but I'm
kidding. That wasn't me.
Oh, yeah, everyone was just cutting you for fun.
That was our other former friend.
Shit, those wrists say different, but
Oh, right. That shit. Pain didn't feel different. You try waking up like that. That was awful. He was trying to kill me.
Yeah, I believe it.
Like, he was trying to kill me. He hated me.
Brie, it was 2008. Everyone hated everyone.
No, he hated me.
But, no, you know, I think body jumping's interesting. You know, they say, like, matter can't be created nor destroyed. I think, like, they said our brains, you know, they give you a big DMT rush when you're passing away and your body's just changing.
No way.
Yeah, that's why they say when you die, you see your life flash before your eyes, or you see, like, things because your brain just explodes in DMT like you're dreaming.
So is that why you do DMT?
No, I've done DMT just to see what else is out there. Like, I've heard crazy stuff, different dimensions, and you really go out there. And if you want to hear how DMT trips work, you know, we have an episode called Drugs. And, and it's really in-depth on some of the stuff I saw, and it's beautiful. I recommend everyone do DMT and acid in their lives, but
don't do drugs, scary. Kids.
Do drugs. Don't. Do drugs. Smoke weed. Eat mushrooms. Lots of mushrooms. I'm kidding.
But don't I don't die. Smoke weed, but I don't consider weed a drug.
I could see more of a supplement. I mean, yeah. I smoke weed sometimes. Sometimes I think I
alcohol is a bigger drug than any.
Yeah, because alcohol. This is addictive.
The gateway drug. Alcohol to me is the gateway drug.
Them saying weed's a gateway drug, no, that's bullshit. Yeah, because alcohol leads to cocaine, and cocaine leads to everything.
Yeah, I definitely. And... wait, you've never even done cocaine.
I've never done cocaine, but I've done everything else.
We have no. All we have are opinions. On cocaine. That's true. And what we've seen.
And I've seen a lot of shit. You too. Yeah, we've seen a lot of shit.
That stuff.
People I wouldn't even expect just getting too lit through, like, give me that cocaine.
I have a question. Have you noticed that, like, when you're around people who do cocaine, like, they kind of all group together and you're left out? So you're just observing them.
No, I'm extremely left out.
And then you're just like, yo, are they going to snort so much they're going to die? Like, am I going to see, like, I constantly think, am I going to see someone have a seizure right now?
No, literally, like, a few weeks ago, like, it was, like, 4 or 5 weeks ago, I'm at a bar with someone I know.
Yeah, they always do it at bars. What's up with that?
And we're literally, like, mid-bar, this person just takes a bump through the nail.
Yeah.
At the bar top. I'm like, yeah, and I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, that's crazy. You just bumped right in front of all these people, but no one noticed. It's so slick. It's such a slick drug. You look like you're poking your nose real quick, or you're, like, scratching. She goes, she went, like, and then went, I was like, oh, my God, you just bumped right in front. I didn't even notice you were doing it until, like. It just clicked. I was like, this bitch is doing cocaine right in front of me. Hell yeah. But, like, it's also like, whoa, that's crazy.
It's a really scary.
And a lot of other people, like, the ones that noticed, are like, hey, let me guess something. Like, and I was like, oh, my God. Everyone in this fucking place is on coke.
Yeah. And then, like, they all group together and they talk together and then they leave you out and you're just like.
And that's the exact situation. I was just the one left out.
You're like, just shook. You're like, oh, my God. And you're just, like, watching.
I'm just watching.
Their conversations are insane. I'm just like, what are you guys even talking about?
Yeah, no, and, you know, I can talk about anything, so I'm getting into their conversation and their view on it. I was like, Jesus Christ. I had someone try to tell me that cocaine has less effects, or, like, less, like, future effects or, like, side effects as, like, smoking weed or doing acid.
Oh, that is so not true.
And I was like, listen, dude. I was, like, arguing about.
People's noses are messed up.
I was arguing with this guy about how, like, he's trying to tell me that cocaine and. Is a better, like, it's a safer drug than have. I was like, dude, you are fucking, you're a crackhead.
Yeah.
Like, don't even try to play, like, you're smoking crack or something, because cocaine is not a safe drug.
Yeah.
And I was like, you are tripping.
Seriously. Like, I feel like people who do cocaine have no fear of death at all. They're just like, I'm out here. What's up? I'm in it for this 10 minute high. It's just like, what's wrong with you? Why would you want to get high for only 10 minutes and then have to redo it? Like,
if you want to get a good trip, just do some acid. You got 12 hours of commitment.
Well, I think they're doing cocaine for the feeling, maybe.
The euphoric feeling.
Yeah, maybe they're, because I've noticed that people who do it mix it with, like, alcohol.
Yeah.
So maybe.
You get really drunk, and once they start, like, fading out, they do cocaine and they're right back up.
Yeah. Like, I always compare tequila to cocaine because it's an upper.
Yeah, tequila. I mean, I do. I drink a lot.
And then alcohol is a depressant. But if you do cocaine, then maybe you're up.
You're up and lit?
I think so. I don't know. But I just feel like if I ever did cocaine, I would have to be like on my deathbed. Like, and I've noticed too, like being around people who do it, why are they always trying to get you to put it in your mouth? They're always like, oh, if you, it's okay. You don't have to snort it. Let me just put some in your mouth. And you're just like, what the fuck?
They're trying to finger your mouth.
Ew. Like, it's just, it's very concerning to me. And it's, I don't know, but a lot of people, those are the people who aren't afraid of death. People who do drugs are not afraid of death at all. Or maybe they are, and they're just intrigued by the idea of death, so they want to take it to the extreme.
And yeah, people are just, especially people who are heavy into cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, I've had some friends who've, like, gone into, you know, big phases where they're just, they're addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they get out of it, and, you know, props. And maybe it's like switching from Coke to Adderall and then slowly winging off Adderall. You know, you got to do what you got to do to get off it.
Yeah.
Especially highly addictive things. Like, you have to do whatever it takes to get off.
I mean, that's, if that means illness.
Switching drugs. And yeah, it's an illness.
It's a mental
illness.
Demi Lovato recently, how we found out that. Oh, she said that she overdosed on heroin and fentanyl. And when I look at her, and I was watching the documentary, all I could think about was,
she really wants to kill herself.
She really wants to leave this world. She doesn't care how she does it, but she wants to leave on a good time.
Yeah.
She hates her life so much. I don't even think she's afraid of death. I think she wants out. And I feel like there's so many people around her who are preventing her from killing herself that she just takes it to the extreme. She wants to die. Like, she does not want to be here.
After all, yeah, her like documentary and effects, yeah, and watching her podcast on Joe Rogan, like, I was like, Jesus, this bitch wants to be dead. She does not want to be here.
Yeah.
She's really trying to off herself. And like, she's not afraid to be like, oh yeah, this happened. You know? And it's a sad thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like, just let her, someone's gotta just,
yeah,
let her
but
go.
You know, like, watching the documentary and seeing how she doesn't even want to be here, it made me feel as though, honestly, I realized I didn't like her anymore. And
I've never been a big Demi Lovato fan.
I've always been a huge Demi Lovato fan, so I was very disappointed to watch it and to really see how she was reacting. She was just so nonchalant about everything. Like, it was very concerning. But I mean, if she wants to go, then I think she should have the right to go.
What are your views on, like, assisted suicide? Like, people who are like
physician-assisted suicide?
Yeah, like people who are like crippled or like her
vegetables. I'm for it. I did a whole presentation and debate about it when I went to Arizona State.
Oh, I think I remember you I was living with you and you're writing that paper and we had a lot of conversations about
it. And I had the whole debate for it too. I remember I had to buy the freaking blazer.
Yeah, you had to get a blazer.
Buy a suit.
Yeah,
we went to Savers.
Yeah, because you're like, I don't want to have money for a big ass suit. Like,
yeah.
And because we went to Burlington
first. And I got
first.
A pink suit.
Yeah, hey, that was fire. We went to, literally, Savers. And we went to Savers, like, in the nice part of Chandler, and we found you a popping freaking pink suit.
Yeah.
Like, that was lit, and it was, like, $6.
Yeah.
Like, let me tell you, this Savers always had, like, the good stuff at it.
Yeah.
The clothes, unfortunately, got bought, like, the lease ended, and now it's, mm-hmm, like, a mattress store, which is stupid, but that was a really good Savers.
Mm-hmm. But it was worth it because, like, I mean, that debate, I felt so attached to it because I had read something about, I had read an article about this girl, and she wasn't living in one of the states that provides it, and she was slowly dying of some, like, flesh-eating bacteria that they couldn't cure, and they had refused to, well, kill her, and she wanted to kill herself, and she stated, like, that she was in so much pain that waking up was even worse than going to sleep. Like, she was basically being eaten alive.
Yeah.
And her parents, they had decided, okay, like, you know what? You want to go. We think it's best. And she was like, I want to go. I think it's best. So they all went to Oregon because that's where it's legal. And they said their goodbyes. They had a beautiful little ceremony for her. And she went, you know. And to me, I felt like that was so beautiful. She got the choice in whether she lived or died.
Yeah.
And I feel like we should all have that choice. And that's what angers me the most when it comes to police brutality, is we should have a fucking choice. And the fact that we don't is disheartening.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
So I'm gonna tell you something that's crazy. So when my grandfather was getting, like, he passed away last year, right around this time. I actually believe it was, it was honestly about 5-6 days ago last year. Mm-hmm. My grandfather passed away. And he was going through all these procedures, getting surgeries done and stuff. And all these surgeries were happening, like, in January, February. And he had one other big one in March. And it was early March he had the procedure. And he told my dad, you know, if this happens, I don't want them to bring me back. He's like, I'm not sad. I'm not depressed. He's like, I do not want to be crippled. I do not want to be barely alive. I do not want to be on a feeding tube. I do not want to be... He didn't want to be resuscitated. He's like, I do not want to be hanging on by a thread. I want to go peacefully.
I would choose that too.
And that's what he told my dad. And my dad's like, wait, what? And, you know, his death was so weird to our family because, one, no one saw it coming. He got out of this procedure. He was already doing rehab. He was out for months. And he, like, my parents went up after he got out of his, like, 3-month rehab. They picked him up. They brought him home. And then he went in for a check-in and everything was fine. And, like, they are hanging out. They're at home. And then my dad said my grandpa did this weird little yoo-hoo that he used to do to, like, my grandma before, like, when he was growing up. And my grandpa was like, I don't feel good. And my mom was like, call the ambulance. So he went to the hospital. They said he was fine. They said everything looked good. And then, like, 4 hours later, like, my dad, like, he called me, like, how's my dad doing? Like, oh, he's fine. Everything's good. He's funny. And then... 4 hours later, I think it was like 2 hours later, my dad got a call that my grandfather passed. And he was like, what? You just told me he's fine 2 hours ago.
Dude, that's so shocking.
Yeah, it was crazy. But I think that my grandpa's saying, you know, if I get in this position, just let me go. Mm-hmm. Having that kind of choice, like, I don't think about things like that. I don't think about, like, if I were to go, just let me be. You know, I don't think if I'm in that situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really have to think about, like, I think that'll happen when we get older. When we start getting, like, in our 50s and 60s, like, if I'm in this position, let me die.
No, I feel that way now. If I was in a position where, like, God forbid, you know, I end up being a vegetable, like, I am going to put in my will. I have to create one, but I am going to put in my will. Like, you're going to have to let me go.
So,
you know, if I'm in a situation. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. For me, it would be like, would you want someone to give up on you that quick or give you a fighting chance first? So doctors say, let's say they like, oh, you got 20% chance of her coming back. Would you want them to give you that 20% chance?
No.
No? You wouldn't want them to give you that shot?
No. I would not want that 20% chance. For me, it's either it has to be at least a 70% chance or none at all. I'm even comfortable at 60. You know, I don't want to be deformed. I don't want to not all be there. I don't want to suffer. I want to go out peacefully and in a way where I can be, I guess, reborn in a positive light. I don't want the last seconds of my life to be me, well, the last hours, minutes to be me suffering. Mm-hmm. If I'm not fully there, please pull the cord, because I don't want to put that on my loved ones, and I don't want that on me. So for me personally,
so I'm saying, like, let's say they give you like a 20 or 10% chance that this procedure works, you're back to normal.
No, I don't want it.
You don't want it?
No.
I'd want that chance. No. If I had that, I'd take any small chance. Mm-hmm. But if it didn't work, then I'll pull the trigger.
No, I don't.
For
want
me,
that.
It'd be like, oh yeah, because, you know, I'm stubborn. I feel like I'd give myself a fighting chance, and
I don't think it's giving up.
I don't think it's giving up. I think it's not. Some people view it as giving up. I view it as like, I'm not done yet.
I think of it as the universe.
I could see that.
If the universe wanted you to stay alive, it'll find a way for you to stay alive. You know, but
what if that universe is giving you that 10% chance, being like, yeah, you got to put that bet because you're going to cash out.
Then I better wake up before they pull that cord. There you go.
I've seen stories like that. They're like, man in coma, they pull cord and then he starts breathing.
There you go.
I've seen those. Like, I've read so many of those articles and like with big sources, like, mm-hmm. I think even Joe Rogan interviewed one of them, and it's like, yeah, so you had the cord pulled on you and you were pronounced dead. And then 2 minutes later, your heart started beating.
And that's the universe.
Then you came back and he was like, do you feel like those machines were actually keeping you in the coma? rather than, and I was like, oh, that's a fucking crazy idea. Maybe your body just needs to fully shut down to just bring itself up. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's something so crazy to think about.
It is crazy to think about. And I think that we also forget that the human body can handle a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. But
what is your biggest fear on how you will die?
I don't want to die being stabbed or shot. That's more so being stabbed. I'm terrified of knives. Well, you probably know that, yeah. But I hate knives. Which is funny because I use them, but I don't want a knife being pointed at me. None of that. I'm deadly afraid of being stabbed to death. It's just not something I've ever been comfortable with. And I'm always afraid every time I hear that song that goes, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Yeah, that I feel like I'm gonna die to that song.
I feel the song I Will Die To is the modern age for the Strokes.
Oh wow, that fast song.
Yeah, and it's because every time I get like in some of the, remember the two accidents I got in living here, that song was playing twice when my hood of my car came up and smashed my windshield on the highway. And when I got sandwiched between a semi and like a big truck.
Yeah.
That song was playing both times. So I feel like that song's going to kill me.
Dude.
So I feel that is like my curse song. And like, I don't know. I still listen to that song all the time while I'm driving. But I feel like that's the song that's going to. Sometimes when I hear it play, I'm like, oh shit. I'm skip.
Damn.
Skip. If I'm on the highway zoom, skip. But I feel for me, I wouldn't want to die in a hospital bed for like cancer or something. Like I feel.
Dude, you know what's crazy? If I was ever diagnosed with cancer, I wouldn't want any treatment.
I feel like I try to kill it naturally before anything else.
I would, of course, go the natural route, but I wouldn't get any medical treatment.
I wouldn't get chemo.
I just wouldn't want to. I just feel like if my body is allowing it to be there, then it's going to be there. You know, the only thing I can do is do things naturally. And I guess like the way God intended.
Yeah.
In order to survive. But me personally, I'm not trying to go through all that. I'm not trying to be sick, throwing up, nauseous. I don't care about losing my hair, but I don't want to be sick. That's my whole thing with COVID. I don't want to be fucking sick.
Yeah.
I hate being sick because when I'm sick, it's forever. So, no.
I feel like I have a good immune system, so it's
I'm
never sick, but that's always like a fear in the back of my head.
So since we're running out of time, what do you think of my new place?
Oh, Brie, by the way, moved into this new place, and it is popping. You're, like, right in, like, the Phoenix, like,
yeah, I'm in downtown. The middle.
You're in the middle of downtown Phoenix. This place's, like, a bougie fucking flat. Kitchen's awesome. The views are awesome. The lights are awesome.
You like
the way
I decorated?
Brie should decorate my apartment if I ever move somewhere else.
And I already did, told like, her that. I like, a Scandinavian theme, kind of. It's getting there.
And it's killing me how good it looks. Like,
it's getting there.
This is popping. So, I, you know... That's a good note to leave it on.
Thank
Bree's
you.
Apartment's killing me because of how bougie it is.
How bougie it is.
And I dig it. Now we're both living a good life, so.
Yeah.
Hashtag we made it. Hashtag another one. Hashtag.
What the fuck? Hashtag another
DJ Khaled.
Another one.
But, you know, leaving it on that note, you know, send us, you know, what is the biggest thing about death that you fear? Or, you know, are you not afraid of death? Or what do you believe happens after?
Yeah, no. How do you feel about death in general?
And do you feel if you die, you are reincarnated as a human, or do you go on to the universe as, you know, something else?
Question. Do you go to the spirit world? And my people will know what I'm talking about.
Oh, like in the Avatar? I'm kidding.
You don't know. But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us and DM us on Instagram at... What is it?
Whining with wine.
Whining with wine, yep, on Instagram. Go ahead and DM us your answer as far as how you feel about death. What do you think happens after? What are your thoughts on the spirit world?
This was an interesting one.
Stay tuned for next Thursday.
We'll see you then.
Bye.